Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Helen.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is the Squiggly Careers Podcast, a weekly show where we talk about the ins, the outs and the ups and downs of work to give you a little bit of squiggly support and some ideas to help you to take action. And if it's the first time you're listening, you might want to know that we also create lots of other things to help you, as well as what you're listening to today. So every episode comes with a pod sheet, which is a downloadable summary that you can use on your own to reflect on what you've heard, or maybe use with someone else. Maybe you mentor someone, or you could use it in your team. We've also got little pod summaries, which are swipeable short things on social media. So follow us at Amazing If on Instagram or LinkedIn, and you'll see those there. They're good to sort of tag people in that you think might be helpful. And we've got Pod Plus, which is a weekly conversation with the very lovely Squiggly Careers community, where we just dive in a bit deeper and people ask questions, they share their own insights, and it's just a bit of a boost. That's every Thursday at 9 o'clock. All the details for that are on our website, amazingif.com.
So this week we're talking about how to present an idea, and the reason we think this is important is everybody has ideas, and it's a way that we all add value in our roles. It shows that we're thinking and creating beyond where we are today. So we're being strategic, we're looking to the future. And a big part of having ideas is being able to share those ideas. We don't want those ideas to just rattle around in our brain and to not kind of make it out, to not make it out to share them with other people. I think it's a really important skill in terms of how we influence and persuade other people. I think we probably all do this more than we give ourselves credit for. But when you actually look at some of the research, or if you read some of the articles around presenting ideas, it very quickly moves into pitching territory. So there is a really good HBR article that I read before the podcast called How to Pitch a Brilliant Idea. But this is all about essentially one and done. You know, like you're pitching a script for a film, or you're maybe even like pitching yourself for something, for a project. And essentially, you either sort of you win or you lose in quite a binary way. So we can definitely borrow some of the learnings from pitching, but I do think be careful that you don't go, oh, that's not for me because I don't pitch. I'm like, actually, I don't think that many people do really kind of out and out pitch. I think what most of us do is share ideas where we're sort of trying to get a feel for, is this something we should take forward? How could this be useful? And we want to be able to do this in a way that it shows our thinking, shows and shares our thinking. And also that we feel really confident. We've got the kind of clarity and confidence to do this well.
And we were thinking about, well, when do we do this? So we could kind of bring it to life for you a little bit. And
I think, when don't I do this?
I know.
Is a better question.
I was about to say, when do we do it with skill, Sarah?
That's harsh.
Because I think I end up sharing quite a lot of ideas. So we'll be talking to, in our sessions, for example, we'll be presenting, and I'll maybe in a session, I'll sort of drop in a little idea I've got about, oh, could this be useful? Or we'll be talking to lots of the companies that we work with about career programs, and I'll sometimes in those conversations sort of drop in we've been thinking about this. I think I drop quite a lot of ideas into presentations to see what sticks and to be able to sort of communicate it a bit more clearly. But I don't always, having kind of prepped for this podcast today and some of the ideas that we're going to share with you, I don't think I always do that with skill. You know, I do it because I like an idea and I'm sort of dropping it into conversation to see what sticks. And I think that is, you know, that is not bad. That's not a bad thing. At least I'm sharing them. But there are lots of things that we're going to talk about that I think, oh, actually, if I did it in that way, that would be sharing an idea with a bit more skill rather than just because I like the thought of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I have a lot of ideas, which I think is a slightly different thing to presenting ideas. And I think I share a lot of those ideas actually more with you than I do with anyone else. And actually, I think you're slightly different. I think you often share ideas maybe more openly or with bigger groups and or communities, like you say, just to sort of see what the reaction is. Whereas I would be more likely to have been kind of mulling something over and then be like, oh yeah, I've got a bit of an idea. I'm going to share this with Helen. And I think over the past couple of years, I've actually got a lot better at like, how do I share this with someone else? And kind of what does that need to kind of look like? And some of the things that we started to list were idea inhibitors. So I think there are some sort of misconceptions around how to present an idea that can get in our way. And the first one is that it has to be crystal clear. Most ideas are not fully formed because if they were, we've gone too far. And this is definitely something that I've learned. I would sort of hold on to ideas for too long. I'd keep developing them. But I find by sharing ideas early and often, those ideas go further. And also you could sort of let go of the ones that you think, oh, this is either not for now. And I've definitely learned that not now doesn't have to mean not ever. I can come back to it. I'll just keep it in my head and then share it again in a month's time with Helen if I really love it. But also not feeling like you have to know the answer to every question. Because I think one of the things that I found quite hard when I first started sharing lots of ideas with Helen, when we were really working together a lot, was I'd feel a bit defensive about maybe some of Helen's questions. So Helen would ask me some questions back, which is sort of her default response usually when I share an idea. I'd say she asks questions before she tells me what maybe what she thinks. I would then be like, oh, she's questioning me. Yeah. And then I'd maybe feel a bit defensive or like she's not open to this idea or she's not interested in this idea. And then what I think once I started to learn, I was like, oh, well, no, she's asking questions. And if I don't know the answer, well, that's fine because the idea is not fully formed. But the longer I keep this idea, almost the more fully formed it becomes in my mind. And then the harder those questions are to sort of absorb. So the crystal clear one is the one that I think has really helped me.
I think the second inhibitor is one that you sort of talked a bit about there, which is like idea ownership, which I don't think you do this anymore at all. But I think you have to watch out for, it's effectively, I think it's sort of ego and energy over an idea. Like you like it. Well, some people have it's my idea, which I don't think you do. Mm. I don't think you have the ego over this is my idea. But what you do have is like the energy over an idea. And I don't think this happens now, but I think it means for lots of people that you can hold it too tightly. So it needs to look like this and it needs to be done in this way. And this is, you know, this is exactly what this idea should be because there's so much like love for the idea. But I think when you can hold it a bit more lightly, so back to the, you know, it doesn't have to be crystal clear and I don't have to be, my whole identity doesn't have to be attached to this idea, then you evolve it with other people's input. So Sarah would be much more willing to say, I've had this idea about something we could do in our sessions. I want to talk it through with you and get your input. And actually, if that evolves along the way because of the conversation we've had about it, that's okay. And sort of feeling like more open to other people's input rather than feeling like you have to own an idea, that's kind of a much better way of taking them forward too.
Yeah, so I think I've managed to just about sometimes let go of the ego thing. What I still find hard, I think maybe you don't see it as much because I think I've got better at kind of managing, is like the energy, because I do still have a lot of energy around. And you probably do still see that. You've probably been quite kind on a Monday afternoon. I definitely have energy around an idea when I'm like, oh, I care about it. I think what I have learned is that when it's not working or when we might be kind of deviating from it or doing something differently, I sort of ask myself, why did it give me so much energy? Because there's usually some insight in that. You know, like, well, if I really care about something, there must be something in that idea that I was like, well, what was it that made it particularly interesting? And like, can you keep some of that, but in a new way? You know, so I actually think it's getting really curious about those things that you care about. I think that can be really helpful. And then the last thing, bigger is not always better. You know, when you say idea, I do think ideas can maybe be intimidating. Like, you know, if this is not you.
I feel like it should, you know, like when they're big or the idea that is big, it should come with a sound.
Big idea.
Well, like, I've had an idea. Ding! Like, it's by the pressure of, like, this big idea.
Someone actually sent me a card once and said something like, that's an excellent idea. And the little response was, yes, all my ideas are excellent. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like a nice, not so subtle message there. And I do think there's this, you know, just remembering that most ideas are small ideas. So this could be a really small tweak to a process or a project or something really small that you think, oh, this could make a bit of a difference to like how we work or what we work on. So don't mistake this for thinking, well, I don't do this because I don't really have any ideas. I just don't believe it. It's a bit like, you know, that I'm not creative. I think sometimes people might bring those things together like, oh, I'm not a creative ideas person. Mm. I bet some people listening will be like, yeah, that's me. And I would say in my experience, some of those people have incredible ideas and have got, you know, they're really good problem solvers. And sometimes if you just use a slightly different word, then you realise actually they've got loads of ideas. It's just they've sort of, their identity can almost get in the way a little bit. So we've now got four actions that we hope would really help you with how to present an idea. And then we've got a little bonus at the end about how to receive ideas from other people, which I really like, which I can say because it wasn't my idea. So that's not my ego getting in the way there. So our first action is to get people nodding at the start. So this is, nodding doesn't mean you're not sort of tricking people into agreeing with you. What I'm talking about here is including people. You know, including people in the conversation, because I think the best ideas when you're sharing them, this is not, because this is not a pitch, this is not a one way, I want Helen to be silent for the next 10 minutes while I picture this incredible idea. This is a, I want to include Helen in an idea that I've had. So how do we include people and sort of get people included very quickly? Because if it feels one way, people are never as invested. So I've got three tools that help me to do this. And each one of them works slightly differently depending on what the idea is that you're talking about. The first one, and the H and E, by the way, to hopefully make it a bit easier. The first one is about an experience. Can you include people by sharing a recognisable, universal experience? So, for example, it might sound like, remember when you had that careers advisor or lesson at school when there was about four options you could choose from about what you could do in your future? If we said that, most people recognise having a careers advisor or usually one random one-off session about careers when they were at school.
Or the room at school. There was like, well, my school, there was just one room.
Yeah, there was like a tiny room, which was really small.
Yeah, tiny room.
Mine was really small.
Yeah. And obviously,
like,
this
go in the cupboard and work out your career.
This is in the olden days and where it was just full of paper prospectuses. And
oh
it was
my God,
like,
yeah.
You had to just go around and pick one up and that was your career.
That's like that's the cupboard for your career, isn't
it? Yeah, the career cupboard. Oh my God.
The career cupboard.
Horrendous.
Where you could be, you know, they were just like teacher, lawyer. It was like butcher, baker, candlestick maker. There was like three or four things, wasn't there? So even there, you know, like that's sort of including people already. Like Helen recognised that, I could talk about that. And I think usually there's a universal experience you can draw on. The second E is more about an emotion. So you might say something like, we're probably all quite familiar with feeling a bit guilty when you buy loads of salad because you're trying to be healthy, but then, you know, like half of it ends up in the bin and we feel really bad about it. And I know from experience.
That was your example. My salad never goes in the bin. I'm like...
Yeah, but you are literally the one exception to the rule here. Where I know this. I have pitched ideas about food waste quite a lot.
Of course.
And salad is like the classic one. You know, everybody ends up buying... no one eats all their salad, essentially. And so, and also, generally, there, it doesn't matter whether it's salad or not. What you probably recognised is feeling guilty about putting food in the bin. You know, like that, like it's not a nice feeling. You feel guilty because you're like, well, you know that like you've either spent money on that.
Or other people are hungry.
Other people are hungry and haven't got enough to eat and you're throwing food away. And so there's like guilty, I guess, is the key word there that you're trying to prompt people to be like, yeah, I do actually feel really guilty when that happens. And so is there an emotion? Or you might be like, how energized do you feel when you spent a day away from the office and just had some time to think and everyone's like, oh, yeah. I'd love that energy, you know, even if they've not had it for a while.
So well, it's the emotion, you know, when you start at a company, you're like, oh, we all know what it's like to feel, you know, on our first day, we're all a little bit lost. Like everyone's got the first day feelings. It's very easy to connect emotionally
Perfect.
With it.
There you go. Well done. Good example. It's almost like we preferred. And then the third E is empathy. So sometimes it might not be an experience that somebody's had directly. And it might not even be something, an emotion that people could recognise sort of within themselves, but you might know someone who. So, for example, we all know someone who's been made redundant at some point in their career and, like, how tough that is. I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't know someone who's been not been made. You know, like, everyone's been made redundant. And you might think, oh, yeah, I do know someone, me. It might be you make it a first-person experience. Or you think, oh, yeah, a sister, a friend, you know, so somebody that you are connected with. So again, you're going for things which are involving and including for as many of the people as possible as you're talking to. Could be one person, could be me talking to Helen. And actually quite quickly, so if I was talking to Helen about food waste, just as an example there, actually Helen's response to that would almost make me go, oh, okay, Helen isn't someone who wastes very much food. Okay, so I might just need to bear that in mind as I start to share this idea. Maybe she doesn't quite recognise that. So almost not getting the nod is actually as useful as getting the nods. And it won't happen as often. I honestly think with these techniques, like 90% of the time, you get people going like, oh yeah, I can sort of see where you're going with that. Occasionally you get someone being like, no, or like just doesn't make sense to someone. And you're like, okay, that's interesting, that's good. That's good to know, because then you can, it might mean you share a bit less in that one conversation. You know, you don't need to share all of an idea all at once.
Just remind me that, so this part one of what I'm about to say is that I think this is exactly what I mean about sharing an idea with skill, which I don't think I always do. Like really thinking in advance, is it emotion and empathy or experience that's going to help me kind of connect this idea to whoever I'm talking to? I think this is a really good example of, I think, why you're really good at it. But the other thing I was just thinking about, I was in a conversation with someone the other week, and I sort of unintentionally, I think, tried to use something like this. So I tried to use an experience-based start to sort of share my idea with them. And the person came to me afterwards and basically said, no, like everybody in the room put their hand up. So I did this thing. Everybody in the room put their hand up and was like, yeah, totally get it. They totally relate it. This one person very nicely came over and was like, no, basically sat down and was like, no, just haven't had that experience. Just kind of don't, basically, I don't get it. This is not something.
Oh, and I remember you telling me this. Yeah.
But then what I did was I shifted to empathy, and I was basically like, look, well, if you haven't directly experienced it, let's think about if this was reflective of, you know, other people that you might work with, basically, can we empathize with the majority of people that do experience it? Yeah. And then he was completely on board and was like, oh yeah, absolutely. The empathy thing clicked. So I think you can, even if you don't get a nod, to your point, that was really, I was like, oh, insightful. And then I didn't have this model in front of me at the time, but I think what I did do was moved on to the empathy piece, and it worked. So I think it's a very useful, this is Sarah's idea, everybody. All credit to Sarah. I think it's a good one.
Thanks.
Pleasure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So the second action when you're presenting your ideas is to share the short version. So there might be a temptation to, I don't know, write a very big 20-page presentation to talk your idea through, but you probably lost people by page two. And what we want to do with ideas is to, you know, connect with people relatively quickly. And there's a few different ways that you can do that. So the first thing that you can do is you could share the idea in a word or a sentence, or maybe use a comparison that people can get quite quickly. So we want to be careers what Martin Lewis is for money. people in their heads might be like, oh, okay, they want to be like a common sense advisor and, you know, a place where people can quickly get some support. Like he kind of democratizes kind of money knowledge, and maybe that's what we want to do for careers. So that isn't actually what we say about our business, but hopefully you get the idea. Or maybe if we were going to build some, I don't know, skills job match tool, you could say, oh, we're building Tinder for careers where people can swipe and see what they want to do with their development. Again, we are not doing that. We're just trying to share some examples of what this might look like.
I think there's a reason that when organisations are pitching for money for investment in their businesses, this is what they do. Because essentially this is a shortcut for people to understand something that is new to them and that they're hearing for the first time. And so what you're doing is you're borrowing from something that's very established and well understood to help you to describe something that isn't established and isn't understood. So it's a shortcut, which is why it works so well. The other thing that I've seen really recently that David Hyatt from Do Lectures, and if you don't follow him on LinkedIn, he's worth following because he writes so well. He talked about the idea of anytime he sort of does anything new, before he sort of, or as he's getting started, he sort of writes this like mini manifesto, which can sound a bit intimidating, but essentially it's just a description of like, what is this thing? Like, why am I doing it? Why do I think it's important? And when you read that manifesto, it might be what, like 4 to 8 lines long. So it's sort of pretty short. It does give you a real sense of like what the thing is. And it might change and you might adapt it over time. But I was thinking this as last week, Helen and I were working on our next book, which is all about learning, which we'll talk a lot more about at some point in the future. And I don't think you can always do this at the very start of an idea. It depends where you are in sort of the idea development. I think if you try to do this too soon without involving other people, I think it could read as a, well, I've decided everything, because it can feel quite complete. A manifesto can feel quite complete. But what you could do is write a few different versions of it. I've done that before, where you sort of go, well, there are sort of 3 ways that this idea could work. And I think that's nice because you're not being too definitive and you're staying really open. And again, you're involving people like, well, actually, we're all quite attracted to the middle one here, or we all really like that last one. Or you could involve people when you're a bit further down about going, oh, should we try and sort of really summarise? I think that's what they are. They're a really good summary of an idea. It might even be worth you doing for yourself, though. I was thinking when I read some of David's and when we did ours last week, I was thinking if we had done that at the start of writing this book about learning, just for us, that would have been something to kind of keep coming back to. And we didn't quite do that. And I think that would have been helpful.
And as well as those ways to kind of get a shortcut for sharing your idea, it's also useful to make sure you've got a shareable version of that, because sometimes those things might be, you know, sort of easy for you to say. You might say, sort of say it and sell it in your kind of way, but it might be harder for somebody to, I don't know, put that in an email, for example, like Sarah and Helen are building Tinder for careers. So what might be more useful and more shareable is to do an idea on a page. And so you share the short version, but then you also gives people a shareable version. And an idea on a page, I would just stick this into probably a grid for 4 boxes, because I like frameworks and things like that. But I would have the inside. So kind of what's kind of led you to this way of thinking. Maybe there's a data point, or there's something happening in the market or the business, for example. What's the insight? Then I would have the idea as kind of simple and succinct as you can. Maybe that's your idea in a word or whatever, but kind of really short summary of the idea. Then I'd have the impact. Like, so if this idea was kind of, you know, if it was done, what would you expect the impact to be? And then I would have implement. And this is not a massive project plan. This just might be over the next 3 months, we'd need to do this in order to make it happen. So insight, idea, impact, implement. And it is just, you know, this could just be an email, by the way, with a couple of bullet points under it. You don't need to have a matrixy grid if you don't want to. But I would probably put it on a page and I would make it look good so that people would kind of probably share it or put it into a presentation or put it up on a screen in a meeting, because I want people to talk about it.
And depending on like what your idea is, something like from and to would also probably be quite helpful here. So you might want to describe the world as it is today from, when I say the world as it is today, it might be just the process for our team meetings, to like what's the kind of the outcome. So before you get to your idea, what are you trying to make happen, essentially? So it's like, oh, if we're trying to move from weekly team meetings that take 90 minutes, but it feels like only half the people participate, to short, specific, high energy team meetings where everybody feels part of them and everybody plays a role. You kind of go back to getting everyone to be like, yeah, that does sound quite a lot better.
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah, you know, when you're like, yeah, okay, well, that's what we do want to do that. That's not our team meetings. I just like to make that point. Obviously, they're high
that's
energy and everyone's involved. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Don't. It's too late on a Monday to have that conversation. But then you go, okay, well, if that's the from and to, what's the idea that is essentially the conduit that's going to get you there? And that could be it. I think you could be as simple as that. And if you got that as something that was shareable, because often ideas include lots of people, have lots of dependencies, and you might not always be in a room or a Zoom when something that you have created or you've shared is then being shared again. And I would say this is the bit that I'm always worst at. So I think if I'm there and I can talk about it, like I said, I have lots of ideas and I think I've got well practiced and versed in sharing ideas. But then I very rarely, because I'm not very good completer finisher, I don't then give people things that make it really easy to share those ideas on my behalf. And then obviously that's a really good thing for lots of reasons. You get loads more feedback, the idea goes further. And that's why sometimes I think I've definitely shared ideas that have stopped too soon because I didn't do this very well.
I'm just going to challenge you. I think you are a very good completer finisher. I just think you have too many ideas to complete and finish. I think it's... you're very good. You're much better than me.
I don't. Well, yeah, but I know, but that's Christ, that's a low bar. Between you and I, I'm like... Benny, what is the personality assessment though that has complete a finisher in it?
I'm a low bar. I mean, if you're comparing me to you, Helen, that's a low bar.
Yeah, that is true though. Because like, what is it? Is it Myers-Briggs or Belbin? There's one of the personality profiles, and they're all like some are better than others, obviously. But one of them has complete a finisher. What's the one that's like plant? And that's Belbin, isn't it?
Roles,
yeah, Belbin. Yeah. Belbin's roles. Because I really remember you and I doing this like a really, really long time ago. And I reckon complete a finisher, we are both like quite rubbish at. The only reason I'm any different is I am more stubborn than you. And so I sort of get a bit overly determined and I'm like, right, I'm going to see this through sort of almost if it kills me, I'm going to make it through. And you definitely don't have that. So between us, it's a miracle, really, that anything makes it out the door.
Let's complete this podcast and prove that wrong.
Let's. Yeah, let's do that. So the third action is share your idea with way more visuals than words, and way more visuals than words on a slide or words that you say, because people remember visuals. We see it all the time in our workshops where we live draw. It's the live drawing that stands out. I might be saying something that's incredibly useful, but if I can draw it, it's the drawings that people refer back to. When people are talking to me about what they've learned, they'll be like, oh yeah, so you know when you showed that diagram or where you described strengths using shapes, that's something I did today. I could see, I was like, that's what sticks. That's where people will remember that idea about strengths because I used these shapes and then managed to come up with quite a good idea of sort of showing whether you have intent and impact when it comes to your strengths. People might not remember the exact phrase, but I reckon they will remember the shapes. And so show a prototype, show a mock-up, draw a diagram. I think the thing that stops people from doing this, and actually I was doing a leadership session last week and I heard this from lots of people, you know, that desire for things just to be so good, to like really the kind of quality bar is so high, and you're used to doing things that are really good and that look great and are very well thought through. And so we're often quite reluctant to sort of sketch stuff out quickly because I think we also fear that, and I recognise this, you fear the critique isn't going to be of the idea. It's going to be because you're like, but this is really sketchy. And so you're, you know, almost like you're not understanding it properly because I haven't done a good job of properly showing it. But in my experience, every time I have sort of tried to do this, whether it's like, oh, like we did it recently, we mocked up some book covers. And yeah, obviously it's not right. And we did it quite quickly. I think we did it in 24 hours, but it was still better than not having one. And I just can't think of an example where it's not better to try and show rather than tell.
I've looked at my scribbles before from meetings that I've been in where there's an idea in my head and I'm trying to make it real for people. And I sort of scribble things on a page and people get nodding. They're like, oh yeah. And it's like, in my head, in the moment, it's like, it's really good. In the moment, I've drawn it. Then I look at it afterwards, I'm like, that just looks like a lot of scribbles, but actually people get it, you know, like when you're, because it's the, I think the words that you're saying at the same time as you're using visuals are the things that click together. If I just drew without any voiceover, I'm not sure, I'm not a particularly good drawer, I'm not sure my drawings would communicate what it is, but I think it's the combination of a visual hook on top of what you're kind of the idea that you're sharing that really works.
And I mean, I have done this with our designer. So we work with a brilliant designer called Jen. And sometimes I can just see that my brief for an idea that I've got for something that we want to create around careers, I just think this will be so much quicker for me to mock up and draw. And I have done that so many times for her. And it is so rubbish what she gets, like embarrassingly rubbish. Like I did one last week where we were doing an event summary thing for Gremlins. And I just said to her, oh, but I feel like it could work a bit like this, and did sort of the worst creative of all time. But it meant that she got what I was trying to communicate as an idea really, really fast. And I think it saved us loads of time. She could also tell me whether she thought it was going to work or not. And actually, often, you know, if you are using words, I think I had actually tried to describe it first, sort of in a couple of sentences, and then I could sort of see it going in a different direction. And I was like, do you know what? This is like a show versus tell moment. And, you know, then she can at least say to me, this won't work for these reasons. Or, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, when you're like, you're so clear in your own mind, and then you think you've written it in a way that's really clear. But often, if you could just bring it to life in some way, it just really helps people to understand what you're trying to say.
And I've done that in case people are thinking, oh, how could this look for me? Using something like Whiteboard on Microsoft Teams or whatever software mm-hmm. you use, you could draw, like imagine you're trying to, you've got an idea about a process at work. Whilst you're talking it through, you could sort of draw the different stages of the process. That's the sort of thing that we mean, that people would sort of latch onto it then. Or maybe you're in a job where there's a lot of communication by like PowerPoint, for example, and you've got an idea about, you know, what this could look like or how you could structure it. Literally doing a sketch, like the bullet points. I've done that before. I've taken a photograph and I've sent it to somebody and be like, this is what I mean. It's just the connection that you're trying to get really in their brain. They just got a little bit more to just make this idea a little bit more tangible.
And actually, we had an example recently, Helen and I had an example recently where we were both very clear of something we wanted to create and it sort of didn't happen. And I think if we had done this, actually we would have got the thing that we'd both got in mind, but people sort of went off in different directions. Not necessarily right, kind of rightly or wrongly, but I was like, oh, it's a really interesting example of if we had just very quickly mocked up visuals, which actually I would say, Helen, this is one of the things that you're best at. You're very good at just being like, I'm just going to quickly create a one page in Canva. I'm just going to quickly do this. And I was like, oh, I wish in hindsight we'd done that. Because I remember us both looking at it going, oh, that's not quite what we meant. But then someone's now wasted time on it. And then it gets frustrating for everyone.
And the last action is all about framing your feedback ask. So to the point of when we share an idea, we're not really sharing it fully formed and we are sharing it in order to get other people's input. What's really important is that you frame your feedback ask in a way that allows you to get useful input on your idea. So for example, if I just say, Sarah, what do you think? I mean, Sarah's pretty good at giving feedback, but that's a bit of a broad question.
I'd absolutely love it. I'd be like, that's a free-for-all.
She might go, oh, well, let me just talk about how you've shared that idea. And I'd be like, no, I don't want feedback on my communication style. I want it on this actual idea. But it's quite a big idea. But it's quite a big ask, really, what do you think of the idea? You don't know if what you're going to get back is going to be particularly useful for you. So what you might want to do is ask some questions on, okay, having shared that idea, I'd really love to know what stood out, and then just listen. I really, really listen. And then you could ask another question. Okay, so having shared that idea, what do you think might be missing if we were going to move this forward? And I think when you are asking those questions, you listen really well, because there's going to be so much insight in what they come back with. They might have some comments. They might also have some questions. And their questions might be focused on different areas. So the insight that we talked about earlier, are they questioning, well, where's this idea actually come from? Because ultimately, if they don't believe where it's come from, it's going to be really, really hard for them to buy into the idea. Or they might have some questions about the impact. Maybe they think you've been a bit too stretching with the impact this idea might have. Or they might have, where I think I tend to go a lot, is the implementation. I genuinely think, oh, great, great idea. And most of my questions are all around the implementation. And it's just useful to kind of listen out for where their questions are going. I think also that stops you being too defensive. It stops you just hearing a question about my idea because I don't like it. And it helps you to clue into like, where is this question focused? So you can stay a bit more objective and be like less emotional about what they might be saying about your very brilliant idea.
And then the last sort of extra bonus thought from us is, if you're on the receiving end of somebody sharing an idea, for some people, this might be second nature. So if you're someone like me, I enjoy doing this. This is a skill I just want to get even better at. But for some people, and I do see this quite frequently, this can feel really hard to do. It can feel quite vulnerable. You know, almost, again, people do feel like, oh, if this idea doesn't go down well, that really reflects badly on me and how I'm doing in my role. So it's always good to be aware of that. Like, I always find I definitely need to be aware of this. I think because you and I are so comfortable doing this and we've got so used to it over the years, but it's not the same, say, if someone in our team was sharing an idea with us and maybe they're challenging something that you and I have come up with. Like, that's quite a hard thing to do. So a good way to support people is to take a technique that we've borrowed from a book called Sticky Wisdom, which is called greenhousing. Helen, do you want to talk a bit about greenhousing? Because I know that this is something you've done before.
So the idea of greenhousing, an idea, is sort of recognising that young ideas, like little plants you might put in a greenhouse, need a bit of extra protection because that's when they're at their most vulnerable. And so what they really need is a little bit of sun. And think about sun as an acronym where the S is to suspend judgment, the U is to understand, and the N is to nurture. So if you are seeing someone share a young idea, give them some sun. Suspend judgment, understand, and nurture. The worst thing that we can do to a young idea that needs a bit of protection is give them a lot of rain. We will drown that idea. We will kill it if we give them too much rain. RAIN is an acronym where the R stands for react, the A is for assume, and the I is for insist. So anytime, you know, we don't listen and we just react with our emotions straight away, or we kind of make assumptions about what this should be or how it should happen, or we insist that it must be done in this way, we take away that sort of support that we want to surround that idea with so it can grow. And you know, this ultimately kills a lot of ideas from kind of very, very early stages. So give it a bit of sun and kind of minimize the rain.
So we hope this has been helpful for you, whether you're presenting ideas all the time and this is a strength of yours that you just want to get even better at, or whether this is something that makes you nervous or you feel like you're maybe starting from a kind of lower base. We hope there's some kind of really practical ideas here for you.
So that's everything for this week. Don't forget all those resources that we've got. Find them on amazingif.com, the pod sheets, the pod notes, and also the pod plus. We would love to see you there and talk about ideas with you.
That's everything for this week. Thank you so much for listening and bye for now.
Bye everyone.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.